roll 61, cam roll 128, Hartzmeyer, take 8 up.
Okay, this is take 8, and that's 61. Marker?
Okay, Chris, we were talking about what you think, how you think the FAST and 68 affected Caesar.
The FAST of 88. Yeah. Well, Caesar was older, obviously, by 1988. The FAST was longer than all the other FASTs. He got sicker at the end. And I think its effects lingered on much longer than they did for the other fasts. And then while he was at La Paz, sort of like recuperating, he fell and he broke his wrists. And that's like slowed his recovery also. And the growers didn't call. I mean, I think we all expected that the fast would produce some response from some part of the grape industry, but it didn't. And then everybody began to think, well, like, what can we do to top this? What can we do that will put more pressure on the grape growers than this fast of 1988 did? And Caesar must have been thinking the same thoughts. And I think the stress of all that turned him away from his natural organizer's course. And that was, when we're in trouble, we think about what we're doing wrong, what we have to do better, how do we change our message, how do we reach out to more people. Instead, at that point, he began to like look for people, particularly within the boycott department, who like somehow were either not doing their work well or were in some way betraying the boycott. And I think the stress of the fast and the recovery from the fast forced, you know, pushed Caesar into that abnormal, untypical way of looking at what was going on around him. And so he began to look inward for, you know, for troublemakers, for disloyal people. And eventually I was one of them. And so it was shortly after that that I left. And why had I stayed? I mean, I often thought I should have left sooner. But in 81, I was still the director of the National Farm Worker Ministry, offices in LA, traveling all over the state. And in 81, I resigned from the Farm Worker Ministry as executive director. And my wife and I moved to La Paz, and we became part of sort of like the union infrastructure. So I had several jobs at La Paz in that period of time. So it was a big change for us. We liked it, particularly for the first 5 or 6 years. I liked my work. And because I was there, and we were sort of like a inner group strategizing together, I believed in the shift to the boycott. And I believed in what we were doing. I didn't believe in everything. We had our arguments, we had our disagreements, but still, I basically was, one of the loyal troops.
But when it came to the point that you left, did that force you to reexamine whether it's some of the other decisions or not?
It mostly caused me to look sort of like at myself. Why had I stayed that long, you know, when other people had left and had opportunity to leave and I didn't and I stayed? And why did I put myself in this position, you know, where I was like this vulnerable to Caesar's, you know, power and whim? And what was I going to do with my life? So I was more into surviving as a human being than I was examining the strategies of the 80s. I mean, I'm glad to see what Artie's doing. I mean, Artie's making all the right moves. He's reaching out to friends who have been estranged from the union. He's organizing workers. They're getting contracts. It's a great thing that's happening. But to just say that Caesar could have done that in the 80s is, I think, too simple. The growers have used this interim time to make things worse for farm workers, and that has always prepares the ground for another day of organizing and courageous, you know, union activity. So, and the board is a little different, and the general counsel is a little different. Wilson's different than Duke Majan. So lots of circumstances are different. So I'm glad for what's happening. And people are returning to supporting the union who haven't supported it for a long time, and I'm glad for that. But I'm not so sure that we could just say, well, Caesar could have done that in the 80s also, if he had chosen to.
Next up is Hartzmeyer, take 9.
You know, that defined your life in
that's right.
Three major ways. Okay. And roll.
Okay, this is take 9. Marker.
In the early days of the strike, one of the other ways that the church was helpful, mm-hmm. which was not so obvious, but you know, if you thought about it for a while, you realized how helpful it was. The workers, there have been strikes in agriculture. There have been unions in agriculture. They had almost always failed. So here's Cesar Chavez. He comes along. He's the leader of this strike in Delano. But you know, who is he? I mean, is he going to stay? Is he going to leave? Whatever. So workers are having internal struggles all the time. Do I join the strike? Do I stay on the strike? At home, they're having struggles. Who's going to pay for the shoes? Who's going to pay for the food? You know, you guys are going to, we're going to lose all of our money. We're going to lose our house. And then Cesar Chavez is going to go somewhere else, and we will have nothing. So all these struggles were going on within each person and each family as to whether to join with and stay loyal to this union movement. And the church's involvement, as visible as it was, I'm sure helped farm workers who are very religious in a traditional Catholic way feel that this is the right thing to do. This is like our choice has been supported and confirmed by this institution that we believe in. So in that way, I think the church supported the strikers in addition to the support it provided outside the strike and for the boycott.
Good. Yeah, it's supporting the strikers is different.
Next up is Wild Track 1002, Room Tone for Hartzmeyer Interview.
I think that's true.
We got a supply of money. Tony!
Okay, next up is Interview with Leroy Chatfield. And it's still Sound Roll 61, Cam Roll 128, Chatfield, take 1.
And rolling.
This is Leroy Chatfield, take 1.
Down.
Second sticks, marker.
Good. Okay, we'll hopscopper around the chronology, but I guess I'd like to start up first by you talking a little bit about how a principal of a Catholic high school named Brother Gilbert became a union activist. How what did that transition mean? How did you do it? Why did you do it?
Well, as the principal of a Catholic high school in Bakersfield, I was keenly aware of farm workers and the lack of farm workers in a Catholic school setting. Knew nothing about Caesar or what he was doing or who he was. I went to the National Catholic Social Action in 1963 in Boston and heard a lecture about social justice and a man by the name of Caesar who was organizing farm workers in Delano. And I practically fell out of my chair because I had come 3,000 miles to hear about a person who was 30 miles away from me, who was doing something that I was interested in. So when I got back to Bakersfield, I tried to find Caesar. He didn't have a telephone. So I finally found a Richard Chavez in Delano, who turned out to be Caesar's brother, and he put me in contact with Caesar. And Caesar and I became friends, and he used to come to Garces High School in Bakersfield, speak to my classes, and we became good friends, and when the strike broke out in 1965, it seemed somewhat of a natural thing for me to leave what I was doing and join Caesar in organizing farm workers.
When the strike broke out, you'd actually made a decision to go back to graduate school, and you were telling me, didn't you, that you'd already gone to school when you got a call from Caesar?
Well, yes. The strike broke out in September, middle of September, of 1965. I had enrolled in graduate school at USC and had moved to Los Angeles, And Caesar called me one evening and asked me if I would be able to come to Delano and work with him and give him a hand. And so I thought about it and decided that I should do that. And so I've never regretted it.
There was one thing, I don't know if it's set in mind, but when you told me that story, you said that when Caesar was trying to convince you, he said something about he wanted you to come work with him, but it wasn't going to be like working in a union. It was going to be something else. How did that go?
Well, I think Caesar made it clear very early, even early when I met him in the early 60s, that his intention was not to build a union in the traditional sense, but he wanted a union that had credit unions and cooperatives and medical plans that were that would empower the workers. And it was more, I think, of a social association and social organization. It certainly had to do with wages and working conditions, but Caesar always made it clear that it had a lot more to do with life and living and family.
And was that an issue when he asked you to come work for him? Did he remind you?
Well, actually, what he asked me to do was, strange as it might sound, he asked me to work on the farm workers co-op. In other words, to develop a cooperative for farm workers. And so here, the strike was waging, and all hell was breaking loose, and Caesar is asking me to come and not to work on the picket line or not to work in the strike setting, but to work organizing a cooperative for farm workers. So actions speak louder than words.
And it was clear even at the beginning that he had a long-range agenda that was bigger than just running a strike.
Oh, yes. I don't think Caesar thought that the strike was winnable or that contracts would be signed in less than 20 years. At least that's what he told me. Caesar took a very long view of his work and his commitment, and he took a long view of people.
Changing to camera roll 129, next take up is Leroy Chatfield, take two.
Yes,
Steve? This is take two, marker.
So let's go back to what you were just saying, but Caesar didn't think that the strike was winnable immediately.
Caesar took the long view, and I think when the Delano grape strike broke out and he decided to participate with the Filipinos, I don't think he thought the strike was winnable. I think, as he told me, he didn't think that the union would receive contracts or win contracts probably for 20 years. And that was Caesar taking the long view about events and people and life.
So that sort of implies that if the Filipinos hadn't gone out and strike, if circumstances hadn't overcome the plan, that he would have waited for a long time.
Oh, I don't believe Caesar wanted to go out on strike. I don't think he planned to go out on strike. I just think that events caught up with him and he didn't have a choice.
And then, and that was something that...
Eric?
Yes?
I want to be
more... what?
Closer to the camera.
Okay.
Leroy Chatfield, take three up.
This is take three, marker.
Mm-hmm. What you're saying about not wanting to go on strike but sort of responding to the moment, that was something that sort of characterized the farm worker experience, wasn't it? The ability to respond and to rise to challenges?
The movement that Caesar built was very flexible, very responsive, could change instantly, and develop new tactics as the case required. It was impossible to make long-range plans or to anticipate what might happen. And so everything was close to the ground and ready to move at a minute's notice.
And that was what sort of gave it its energy, right? Its vitality.
Well, I guess it's like guerrilla organizing. It's here today, gone tomorrow, show up in Canada, show up in San Francisco, disappear. Because the opposition in this case, the bureaucracy of agriculture was very ponderous, slow moving, traditional, and it was very difficult for them to get a handle on a movement or the energy that was created by Caesar and the volunteers and the strikers that joined the movement.
One of the things that happened, and it seemed in a way that it just evolved, but maybe there was a logic to it, was the kind of organizing and what happened around the fast in 68. That is, no one had planned in 67 that Caesar was going to go on a fast the next year. It was a response to what was going on too, wasn't it?
Yes. I think Caesar was very concerned about the increasing call by union supporters and some union members themselves for violence. Caesar was very, very committed to nonviolence, preached nonviolence, practiced nonviolence, read Gandhi constantly. And he was searching for some personal statement that he could make as the leader of the movement that would reinforce the value of nonviolence, at least as he saw it. And I knew ahead of time that he was planning a fast because he told me that he was practicing fasting. And he would practice for 2 or 3 days at a time and found it extremely painful and difficult. And told me that he didn't think that he could actually do it or wasn't sure he could do it. But he was committed to doing something. Now, I was quite taken aback when he actually announced that he had started his fast and that he was going to withdraw to the 40 acres, the Union Complex, and stay there until he completed it. I didn't know the details of what he had planned, but I wasn't surprised at the idea of a fast. But it was quite a shocking event. First of all, within the union, it caused a lot of consternation and disarray, bickering, pros and cons. It was a startling event.
And in fact, when he made the announcement, it provoked this reaction, and he left and you went with him, right?
Well, it provoked a great reaction. Sort of a debate broke out in the auditorium after he left. The first person to leave to follow him was his wife, Helen, and she said that she was going to leave to go to the 40 acres and be with Caesar. And then the debate sort of waged, and we all had our say, and I had my say, I'm sure, and said that basically the 40 acres was going to be considered holy ground in view of the fact that Caesar had chosen the 40 acres to conduct a personal fast, and that no cars would be permitted to drive on the 40 acres. People would have to walk on and off. And that caused a lot of flap, as I remember.
And then you left too.
I left to go to the 40 acres, and in fact the whole union ultimately relocated to the 40 acres because that's where Caesar was and because that was the central event of the movement at that time, and there was really nothing else going on.
Was there really a debate in the union over how much of a religious character it would be? I mean, you're saying that there was this response to saying it was going to be treated like a holy site. Did that bother people because they didn't want it, religion?
It bothered some people, but it didn't bother most people. It certainly didn't bother the farm workers, who, after all, is what the movement is all about and what the union is all about. Caesar was a very religious person, practiced his religion, and so having daily mass, Catholic mass, at the 40 acres each night of his fast is just a very natural thing for him, for his family, for the farm workers, for all of us, really. I don't think there was a lot of dissension about that, though I think some people were unhappy.
Now, the other thing that happened in 68, happened certainly as fast in 72, that I witnessed, was that while Caesar was making a spiritual personal statement, there was a lot of very practical organizing built around it. How do those two things connect?
Well, the irony of the fast was that it turned out to be the greatest organizing tool in the history of the labor movement, at least in this country. Workers came from every sector of California and Arizona, and even further, to want to meet with Caesar, to talk to him about the problems of their area, getting his advice about what they could do to help strengthen the union or build the union in their area, in their crops. Caesar had more organizing going on while he was immobilized, if you will, at the 40 acres fasting than had ever happened before in the union or has happened since. Thousands of people came constantly. It was a constant stream of people that came to seek advice, to bear witness, to pledge themselves, to commit themselves. It was a totally amazing turn of events for the union.
But I mean, what I'm trying to put my finger on is that it was something that happened on different levels. There was a spiritual level, there was an organized, and it's so remarkable to see these things.
Well, but see, I don't think the organizing level of it or the organizing part of it was pre-planned. I think that Caesar's personal commitment and his personal statement came first, and the other followed. It didn't have to follow inevitably, but it did follow, and it did turn out to be a magnificent organizing tool that maybe Gandhi knew about, but we didn't know about, or people that I associated with didn't know about. It was a marvelous event.
The other thing that happened at the same time was the union was facing a hearing from Jumara on some injunctions about violence. Do you think that entered into the calculation of the timing of the fast or anything?
I think so. I think it was a confluence of events that probably push Caesar to undertake something so personal as this. He was very concerned about the talk within the union about violence and resorting to violence. He absolutely did not approve of it, opposed it, did not believe in it, felt that it was taking the short view and in the long run it would hurt the union or hurt the idea of a union, and certainly people would be killed. And it wasn't worth it. He felt that the life of a single farm worker in order to build the union was not worth building the union. Now, that is a very conservative position, I think, that he would be willing to...
We have to change that. This was a full 10 minutes.
End of the sound roll.